Hi, thank you for being here with us on X-Ray FM. My name is Katrina Nguyen, and today is a follow-up to an exclusive and unrelenting exposé I hosted earlier this year about the status of women's legal equality in the United States. Today, we'll be skipping the lengthy history that was covered and diving straight into where we are at present day. If you missed that historical discourse and would like to get up to speed, you can find it on Apple Podcasts under X-Ray FM Amplify Women. That episode is titled, Think Women Have Equal Rights? Think Again. But the bottom line is this: though the modern American woman is sold the appearance of having equal rights as a man, in the courts, there is no guarantee or promise of having the law equally or fairly enforced for a woman. Joining again is constitutional attorney, impact litigator, and adjunct professor Wendy Murphy, with the addition of her colleague, Kamala Lopez. Writer, director, and producer of the award-winning documentary Equal Means Equal, and the founder and president of the organization of the same name, Equal Means Equal. Equal Means Equal this year has filed several federal cases, including an emergency petition to the Supreme Court on behalf of women's legal equality in the United States. Thanks for joining me, Wendy and Kamala. Due to how current these pending cases are, and likely with new and changing information, I want to give you mostly free rein to educate our listeners what is going on. I'll likely chime in from time to time if I feel clarification is needed, but I do have one prompt to get the conversation going. These cases concern equal rights for women, but specifically it pertains to the Selective Service, aka the draft, excluding women. So this personally did not immediately get me in an uproar because generally I'm anti-war and an advocate for individual choice and autonomy, which likely most people listening are. I personally do not support the surprise Selective Service for anyone, men or women. But the fact of the matter is that the draft still exists, only applies to men, and this has caused some dispute, contention, and lawsuits amongst men's rights groups in recent times. Why is it a problem that men's rights groups are leading this, and what do the cases with Equal Means Equal have to do with it?
Katrina, the way you just expressed how you felt, this reluctance to think this was good for women and reluctance to be supportive, et cetera, was a common sentiment that we heard. When I first decided to file this kind of lawsuit, I felt the same way. Oh my God, I can't possibly file a lawsuit about putting women in the draft. Not only do I not support war, most women don't. Not to generalize, because I'm sure some do, but what's the reaction going to be? And we need unity. If we're going to win any kind of a lawsuit around women's equality, we need unity. And this is not, I don't know, thematically not the right scope. That would really capture the imagination of women and make them feel like joining us. And we need numbers. So I was reluctant in the beginning, but let me say this. Two things that you pointed out in the beginning that are really important. One is that this isn't about seemingly written equality or black and white in the law equality. Because if you just look at the laws, it seems like women have equality. And what do I mean by that? Well, you read the books, the law books don't say men can vote, women can't vote. And even the Constitution itself doesn't explicitly say women are not equal. This makes it really challenging for someone like me to be able to articulate to women why they need to be fighting for basic legal equality, because it sort of, pushes us into this very murky legal area. Where is that inequality expressed? Where is it written, women are not equal? And it's a little complicated. So I want to lay the groundwork and then let Cam talk a little bit more about what she's been doing and how important it is that I, as a lawyer, am able to work with such an important organization like Equal Means Equal, because it can't just be about a lawyer filing cases. It has to be about a lawyer filing cases that influential organizations like Equal Means Equal are willing to support. Having said that, why did we go forward with this case around the draft and women in the draft? Because historically, we've been filing laws for many years, we've been filing lawsuits just about making the ERA valid. And in part, this lawsuit about putting women in the draft is designed to do that as well. But it's a little bit more creative and it does it through a slightly sideways avenue. Here's why we decided to file this. Thinking about which kinds of cases to file put me in a situation where I was monitoring what the courts were doing and what people were saying and doing about women's rights. And I happened upon several cases that were in the pipeline, so to speak, that had already been filed that involved the question of women in the draft. And they had all been filed by men's rights groups. Now, this is important because, listen, if men's rights groups want to fight for women's equality, I'm all for that. You know, let me help you. I'll join with you and we'll do it together. But that's not what they were doing. They were saying, we support women's equality. We want women in the draft. But what they were simultaneously saying is, but we want women to remain unequal under the Constitution. So first of all, is it possible to be equal for purposes of a law that requires you to register for the draft and be unequal under the Constitution? Absolutely. That's sort of how the problem exists anyway. Remember I said, what does the Constitution say about women being unequal? It doesn't say that, not in a technical sense. If you look at the 14th Amendment, which was adopted in 1868, and it's where women and others thought they got equality because it says all persons shall have equal protection of the laws. Well, women thought they were persons, so we were happy in 1868. And we went to court to try to enforce our equal protection rights, and the courts absolutely forbade us to even assert them. Never mind did we lose those kinds of cases. They just didn't even acknowledge that we had them. Translation: women weren't persons. So yes, the Constitution said persons shall have equal protection of the laws, but because the Supreme Court didn't acknowledge women as persons, we were in fact instead the property of men. I mean, generally speaking, women had very limited rights because they were covered by the rights of their husbands and fathers. That's where we get the idea of coverture from. Coverture is an old English common law doctrine that describes women as not persons because they are subject to coverture. The rights they have are the rights they have under the rights of the men in their lives. So anyway, we were misled by the language of the 14th Amendment, and we learned very quickly that we were not persons. Therefore, we did not have equal protection of the laws, and we started fighting for equality basically right away. Well, we're still not there, because the Supreme Court still hasn't said women shall have full equal protection of the laws. What they have said is, and by the way, they didn't say this until 1971 in the Reed versus Reed case. So it took us almost 100 years for the Supreme Court even to answer the question, are women persons? They said, yes, okay, well, let women be persons under the 14th Amendment for equal protection purposes, but not full persons. When we enforce women's equal protection rights in the courts, we're going to enforce them unequally at a weaker standard of review, meaning we will allow the government, because the equal protection doctrine applies to the government, right? We're talking about state and federal government officials. The Supreme Court in 1971 said, we're going to let the government treat women differently and worse under the equal protection doctrine, because when they assert their right to equality under equal protection, we're going to enforce their rights at a weaker, lesser standard, which created a wider gap within which the government could discriminate. And the gap is much tighter for other people. It's only really weak and really low for women. People find this difficult to understand because they want to see it in a document. What does the Constitution say? It says persons shall have equal protection rights. Well, yeah, but what did the Supreme Court say about whether women are persons? That's the real question. And most people don't understand this. So I just wanted to explain that, because flash ahead now, when I started seeing these men's rights groups trying to force women into the draft, they were doing it because there actually is a law. There is a federal statute that says men must register for the draft, women cannot. 99.9% of federal laws don't differentiate between men and women like that. They just don't. We are subject to unequal treatment only when regular laws are enforced. That's where that unequal enforcement part comes from. So if you are a woman and you don't have your First Amendment rights or your Fourth Amendment rights, or for that matter, you know, your right to be protected against trafficking and slavery and abuse, when you go to court to insist that you're not being treated equally under any of those laws, the judges are allowed to say back to you, that's right, you're not being treated equally under any of those laws. You're not being protected equally because you're not entitled to full equal protection. you're entitled to second-class unequal protection. Well, it's hard to fight about that kind of unequal treatment because it's not in a black and white statute. It's not in writing. Well, the law about who has to register for the draft is black and white. So it's a very nice issue, if you will, for us to sue about because it's crystal clear. Men must register, women can't. Well, when I saw that men's rights groups were fighting to fix this discriminatory federal law about the draft, at first I thought, oh, this is great. Men's rights groups will go fighting for women and will be equal, not only under the draft, but under the Constitution, because their claims were all about the Constitution. Then I read their cases and I read their briefs, and what they were actually asking for was force women into the draft, let them bleed to death on the front lines of battle alongside men, but keep them second-class citizens with unequal protection of the laws. Don't give them full equality under the Constitution. And when I saw that that's what they were asking for, I told Cam, we have to sue. We have to sue about getting women into the draft, not because we love the draft, but because these men's rights groups have been told by the Supreme Court that the Supreme Court of the United States wants to decide this issue. Meaning, you know, the Supreme Court has already said in several different ways and indicated in written rulings, we are going to decide this issue, whether women should be in the draft. Because they've never been in the draft since the early 1900s when the draft law was created. It excluded women and it's excluded women ever since. Well, the Supreme Court said, we think we ought to put women in the draft, but we need the right case. All of a sudden, men's rights groups have three, no, actually, there were four cases on their way to the Supreme Court at the time I told Kamala we need to file, because none of these men's rights groups were asking for the Supreme Court to rule that women not only should be in the draft, but deserve full legal equality if they're going to die for their country in the same way that men do. So we filed in Massachusetts federal court, and that was our claim. And we did two things in the case. We said, number one, women deserve to be in the draft because they deserve full legal equality, but you will not put us in the draft without also giving us full legal equality. And there are two ways to do that. One, declare the Equal Rights Amendment valid, because if the ERA is valid, then women are entitled to full legal equality. They get a bump up from that second-class weak enforcement place where we are now up to full and strict and rigorous enforcement of all laws. And if you're going to put us in war alongside men, put us in the draft, you're going to give us full legal equality by validating the Equal Rights Amendment. But even if you don't validate the Equal Rights Amendment, you're going to give us full legal equality under the 14th Amendment and under the federal equivalent of the 14th Amendment. And you don't need the ERA to do that. You just need to fix the problem you created in 1971 when you said, fine, women can be persons, but they're going to be unequal persons. That was a court decision that put us there in that second class space. We're still there today. So our argument to the judge was, even without the ERA, you have the authority to bump us up to full personhood, because you never should have taken us out of full personhood to begin with. We've always been persons. So that's my basic introduction, and I'm going to let Cam take it from here.
So essentially what happened was these men's rights groups were filing these cases that were going to compel women into the draft while still denying them equality and upholding what is a hierarchy of equality, which is just preposterous. You can't have a hierarchy of equality. You're either equal or you're not equal. And they were petitioning the Supreme Court to hear their cases and acting like we actually didn't exist. And that was very concerning to us because we did not want to be an amicus to their cases. We didn't want to be sitting on the sidelines. We wanted to be there as a party representing women. Because if you're going to decide about women's rights, and you pretty much need to have women there. And by failing to list us as one of the cases, even though we were a very obvious case in federal court, both cases that appealed to the Supreme Court that they wanted their cases to be heard, pretended that we didn't exist. So we were forced to file an emergency writ. Initially, we filed a type of amicus. We joined with about 35 other organizations, mostly women veteran organizations, to say, hey, hey, over here, we're women, we're enlisted, we're in Iraq, in Iran, in Afghanistan, we're dying for this country, please include us. And that brief was not accepted because they said it wasn't timely, although it actually was. And we can get into this whole idea that the Supreme Court is withholding the docketing of cases until they make it impossible for us to jump in and file a timely petition. In this case, we filed the emergency writ because we were extremely concerned that they were going to hear these cases and not allow women to have a voice in the conversation. So fortunately, both Valame, which was one of the lawsuits, and the other was the National Coalition for Men, both of those cases were not taken up by the Supreme Court to a great degree, we believe, because we made such a stink, because we filed, because we are standing there and they can't sweep us under the carpet and pretend we don't exist and decide on these issues without women's involvement. So on the one hand, it's good they didn't pick those cases up without us. On the other hand, we will be appealing our case and ultimately we'll be asking the Supreme Court to hear our case, because in 1981, a decision was made called Rosker, which said that women could not be in the draft because they were not in combat roles, they were not military ready, and therefore having them in the draft was actually dangerous because they wouldn't be ready to fight. But since then, from 2015 onward, women have been in combat roles. And so it is improper, and the Supreme Court recognizes it, to say that women can't be in the draft because they're not in combat roles while they've been in combat roles for 11 years now.
By the way, that case that Kamala just mentioned, the Rosker case, the Supreme Court said in Rosker, it's okay to discriminate against women with regard to the draft because they're not allowed in combat. But once women were allowed in combat, the question came up, well, does this mean they can be in the draft now? And the only groups that started fighting in the courts to force women in were men's rights groups, which again would have been fine, except that they were asking for women to be in the draft and remain unequal. And we are the only lawsuit that asks for women to get both things, equality in the draft and equality across the board for all laws, all rights, etc. And when we've challenged some of the people involved in those other men's rights cases to, you know, basically say to them, what is wrong with you people that you, why would you ask for women to be in the draft but remain unequal? What is wrong with you? You're inhumane, crazy. What are you doing? And they just won't answer. You know, they won't answer because the answer is they absolutely want women to stay unequal, but they have this really ugly attitude toward women about their failure to honor and serve their country on par with men. In other words, historically, there's always been a kind of quid pro quo there. Why aren't women equal? Men's rights groups will say in a knee-jerk sense, they're not in the draft, so you don't deserve equality. If you're not serving your country equally, you're not entitled to benefit from rights equally. Now we're trying to say, fine, you want that to be the quid pro quo? We'll take both. We'll take both. And I think it's a powerful moral argument that actually neither political party could possibly oppose. And that's one of the reasons I think the Supreme Court is unhappy that we have been pestering them with our emergency petitions and the briefs we've been filing. I think they would have been delighted to get away with putting women in the draft and keeping us unequal and basically saying, well, the reason we kept you in second-class citizenship with unequal enforcement rights under the Constitution is because nobody asked for full equality. No one asked, so we didn't do it. And we're like, yeah, well, nice try. We did ask. And because we started pestering and asking, I think the court may have turned away from these cases. You know, there was an opportunity there for them to be done with this one very stark example in the law where women are explicitly unequal. Remember, I said most laws don't say that anymore. They don't say men can, women can't. It's all in the enforcement, which is much harder to see, harder to talk about, hard to get politically exercised about. So we really appreciate the black and white nature of this explicit discrimination in a statute. And we're taking advantage of how clear it is, both to file cases, to fight back against the men's rights groups, and to educate the public about what it means to be unequal. Our cases are, and by the way, you can get all of the briefs at Equal Means Equal. Go to their website. Kamala posted all of them there. We have laid it out in super simple terms. Why are women unequal? How are they unequal? Why is this important to women? The short answer is without basic equal protection rights that are fully protected and strictly enforced, every single law in this country, from small things like getting a parking ticket to big things like freedom of religion, every single law can, not must, can be enforced unequally when applied to women. It's permissive, not mandatory, permissive. Or as Justice Scalia said in 2011, it's not that the Constitution requires discrimination against women, it's that it doesn't forbid it. And he's right.
What's interesting is that the Department of Justice recently asked to see a transcript of Wendy's oral arguments in Massachusetts. And that leads me to believe that they are finally taking a look at our case because they realize we're not going anywhere. And Wendy has until, I believe, August 3rd to file our appeal in Massachusetts, which is our next step. And subsequent to that, we will be appealing to the Supreme Court ourselves.
Yeah, we're not expecting to win in the First Circuit. It's not that we don't deserve to win. We've just seen how the courts are treating this issue. But we have two discrete issues. Is the ERA valid? And remember, the American Bar Association, President Biden, the American Constitution Society, lots of very influential people and organizations are on our side on this and say the ERA is valid because the deadline on ratification is not valid. We might not win, but we have a very good argument, and we expect the Supreme Court to care about it, and we expect to get people on our side. The second argument is, even if the ERA isn't valid, you need to give us strict and full equal treatment under the Constitution. We don't need the ERA for you to give that to us. Those are our two claims. And our judge at the lower court just ruled against us a couple months ago. He said the ERA is not valid, and his answer for why was, well, that's what the other courts have said, so that's not much of an argument. And his second argument was, I'm not going to rule on the constitutional rights for women under the general constitution, in other words, regardless of the ERA, because if the Supreme Court wants to address that, they can, but I'm not going to do it. So he sort of ducked the issue. Now we're going to try to get the First Circuit, the appellate court, where three judges will come together to answer these questions. We're going to try to get them to answer the questions. Win or lose, we're ready to go to the Supreme Court as well. We hope to get a lot more support, and we appreciate the fact that shows like yours are giving us a chance to educate and explain things. Because if you just read the little sound bites, oh, women are suing to be in the draft, it's not attractive to women. It takes time to explain why we're doing this, and shows like yours are giving us that opportunity. We really appreciate it.
I just want to say that on January 27th of 2020, the Equal Rights Amendment achieved all necessary states and became valid under the simple language of Article 5 of the Constitution, which states very clearly that an amendment is valid when 3/4 of the states ratify it. And that is what occurred in 2020. And the fact that these judges, this government, these courts refuse to say one way or another whether 50% of the population are now included in the Constitution is a disgrace. And it shows you how in bad faith they are over the whole issue of women's rights. They don't want to address it, so they skirt it using precedent, using standing, using all kinds of games, when the question is very simple. A, when 38 states ratified the amendment, did it become law or not? And if not, do you need to revise the Constitution to explain that? And B, are women in this country equal or not?
The Supreme Court doesn't want to answer the question, are women equal? And we already know they aren't, but the Supreme Court doesn't want to address it because that would teach the public that women are not equal. Ducking it is the safest way to keep us subjugated. Addressing it, even if we lose at the Supreme Court, we want the case to be heard so that the Supreme Court has to say out loud, women are not equal, and let me tell you why, and blah, blah, blah. Once that happens, again, win or lose, once that piece happens, women will ignite as a class of people. They will rise up as they should have been doing for years, but there's been a lot of obfuscation, misleading women, not educating them to understand their subjugation. Part of our purpose as activists, and part of my purpose as an activist attorney, is to teach. File lawsuits not always to win, but to teach, to make a public record, to hold people accountable, to create visibility. That's what we've been doing, and we will continue to do it until I don't even know if there's an end game in sight because we see the long game. We've tried the short game, but now we see the long game. We've got lots of cases lined up, lots of different ideas for how we're going to keep filing lawsuits. And, I don't think it's going, I don't think we're going backwards. We've been nowhere for a long time. Now we've moved forward a little bit, and I think there's no way we're going backwards. It's just a matter of time. We will win.
Well, thank you so much. You're both a great inspiration to me. I appreciate the work you're doing. And listeners, if you want to dive deeper into women's equality and American law, X-Ray FM is hosting an exclusive online screening of Kamala's documentary, Equal Means Equal, tonight on the X-Ray FM YouTube channel. It is free, and all you have to do is show up. Kamala, can you tell the listeners briefly about this documentary and its relevance to the current conversation in present times?
I did not know that women were not equal. Like 96% of the American public, I believed that women were equal. I was taught that. And when I found out that we were not equal, I honestly, it took me a while to believe it. And so I started to research. I ended up researching about 26, 27 areas in society where women experience discrimination. Be it pregnancy or violence or unequal pay or whatever the trafficking, whatever the issue was, I looked at whether having equality under the law would help. The film was ultimately boiled down to just 12 subject areas because the original script was 800 pages long and the first cut was 4.5 hours long. And so I had to really boil it down. But the bottom line is when you watch the film, you'll see how many areas. This inequality, which is unsaid, right? But you see it just in the disparate effect that it has on women. You'll see how important and what a foundational issue it is to have constitutional equality. We literally will never move forward without it. Until the government recognizes us as equal and until it's in the Constitution, we will always experience discrimination and abuse at a higher level than any other group. And we have absolutely not a leg to stand on if we care about women's rights globally until we fix our own house.
So, everyone, if you want to check this documentary out, the exclusive screening will be tonight at 7 p.m. on the YouTube channel at X-Ray FM. It is a very short, exclusive screening. So, if you don't catch it tonight, it won't be there tomorrow. So, go tonight to the YouTube channel at X-Ray FM, 7 p.m. Education is power. So, empower yourself, go educate yourself with this great film.
And join us. Join us at equalmeansequal.org. Click the join us button. It won't cost you a dime, and we will keep you abreast. We will send you newsletters and explain where we are on our cases and let you know how you can help.
And I'm guessing the next time you're in court will likely be 2027, or do you think it'll be sooner than that?
That's a good question. It's possible it'll be in the late fall of this year, but it's hard to say.
Well, thank you so much for coming on again, and I'll likely invite you on at some point in the future. If you have any final closing words, go ahead. Otherwise, we'll close out and we'll see you tonight at the documentary at 7 p.m. on the YouTube channel.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Katrina, because we have had a difficult time getting mainstream media to pay attention to this. And likewise, we've had a difficult time getting even mainstream women's groups like NOW and even the ERA Coalition to support us. Frankly, it's because they are foundationally and fundamentally hostile to women's equality because enormous amounts of money are made from women's inequality. I'm talking about trillions of dollars a year, trillions. So we'll never have the money to fight back, but we do have the votes and we do have the bodies. So long as we come together across all the lines that politicians and others use to divide us, come together as women for women in this fight, we will win. Because as Cam said, we have 170 million potential voters behind this issue. We just need to unite, come together, vote this issue, and don't back down. Don't be a partisan. Don't pick someone because it's the lesser of two evils. Use this issue to demand a fully equal constitution for women. Democracy doesn't exist without it, and all we need to do is come together. People like you are helping us do that. So thanks, Katrina.
Thank you, Kamala. Thank you, Wendy.